My guests on Industry Chatter, Lourdes Martin Rosa, the Chief Executive Officer of Government Business Solutions and American Express Open Advisor in Government Contracting, and Daryl Hairston, the Associate Administrator for the 8A Business Development Program at the Small Business Administration, talking about the government-industry relationship in the small business contracting world. Friends, thank you very much for being on the program today. Daryl, I want to start with you. Tell me about the health of the 8A program. It's been around for more than two decades. How do you at SBA see it doing today?
Yeah, well, actually, the program's been around a lot more than two decades, and it is as healthy today as it has been in the past. As far as a support that we receive from our sister agencies, that's been consistent over the last few years. While there has been a slight decline in the overall dollars, we for the previous year where we have final numbers, the agency spent about $15.7 billion in the program. Transactions in the program declined like it did across the government in general for all small businesses, so we're pretty consistent there. Our numbers have been dipping a little bit in terms of overall participation. We receive on average about 50 applications a week, so there's a continued strong interest in the program. Our numbers have been dipping simply because we've had a number of firms that have left the program because they've completed the term, and it was a consequence of a number of firms that came in during a three-year period where we had a blip. But as far as overall interest and the program continuing to be of great interest to the public, we see that as pretty much continuing at a growing pace.
Lourdes, how does that fit with the experience that you have, not just as a participant, but as somebody who interacts with others who are involved in the 8A program on a regular basis?
Well, as an 8A certified firm ourselves, I will tell you that it is a very beneficial program. And in my title as American Express Open Advisor in Government Contracting, I have the opportunity to speak to audiences nationwide on the importance of having such a good business development certification and basically having the SBA as your partner in growth. However, I do caution small businesses that because the lifeline of the 8A program is just 9 years, to basically dwell in government contracting either as a subcontractor first or get your feet wet with smaller contracts to be able to get a lay of the land and then go after your 8A certification. I see that too many small businesses think that this is a way to tap into getting government contracts, and then it takes them about 2 to 3 years to be able to learn how to navigate the federal procurement system, and they lose 3 years of their 8A certification. So I always encourage those businesses that qualify for the program to definitely get involved.
Lourdes, you kind of anticipated my next question, which is what are the perceptions or misperceptions that people that you talk to who are leading companies that want to get involved in the 8A program have, not just about the program itself, but about selling to the government more broadly?
Well, I will tell you, and Daryl could also, you could chime in at any time, the 8A program, you're basically under the SBA's umbrella, and the SBA handholds you throughout the life cycle of the 9 years of the 8A program. It is divided into two sections, whereas the first 4 years is the more business development section, and then the last 5 years, the SBA would like to see a more competitive corporate government mix so that when you graduate after those 9 years, you just don't fall off the cliff. Although I would love to have it never expire.
Yeah, well, Lourdes is exactly right, and she's made some very pointed comments. First and foremost, she's exactly right about our experience with participants or people who are interested in participating in the program. You know, there's a perception that this is a contracting program, and you get in the 8A program, and you're going to get contracts. And in fact, that's a bad perception. This is a business development development program, and contracts are one of the tools that we make it available. And it is a 9-year program, and when you are approved, your time in the program begins the date you are approved. And we see a number of companies coming into this environment thinking that this is going to be real easy, and they're going to step in and they're going to get a lot of contracts. But they're really not ready. And the agency has taken a number of steps to try to help companies recognize that and to prepare themselves for an environment that they may not be accustomed to operating in. And it's a very competitive environment. Even if you're 8A, it's a competitive environment. So we strongly encourage companies to take advantage of the resources that we provide to try to help prepare companies to come into the program. We have a training site on our website at www.sba.gov. It's called Government Contracting 101, and within that we have a number of what we refer to as pre-8A training courses, and we would encourage people to take advantage of that as well.
What kind of topics do they address, Darrell? Because I would think that those topics that they address, you have them there because those are the things that people either ask you the most about or they're the most unclear on when they come into the program.
Well, first and foremost, it's kind of an orientation on what the 8A program is and what it's all about. But then there's a focus on government contracting activities, like how to, you know, to help firms start the process of learning how to navigate the government, how to gather the appropriate intelligence to be prepared to come in and understand where your market is and how to navigate that market and how to introduce yourself and basically an introduction to how the government actually contracts, what type of contract vehicles do we use, and what are the rules and regulations around government contracting. So they're kind of focused on preparing yourself for a different market than the commercial market, obviously.
Lourdes, now I know Darrell's sitting right here in front of us, but are you confident that the materials that SBA provides are comprehensive, that people coming into the program will learn what they need to be able to know to succeed?
Oh, definitely. Without the SBA's help, we could not have had the 120% growth that we've experienced since we got into the 8A program 3 years ago. The SBA basically assisted us not only with just proposal writing, but offered us and gave us tools and resources for investors, on angel investors, and access to capital, because as you know, the banks weren't lending to those that don't have constant cash flow, and I learned that the hard way. But here you are, you're a small business, you've landed a $1 million 8A set-aside contract, and what do you do now? And I basically went to the SBA, spoke to my business development specialist that is assigned to me, and she walked me through every single step of the way so that I would be a low-risk small business contractor to the federal government. And that has allowed us to basically grow our firm. But also what it definitely does is it gives you a competitive advantage, because when you're looking at the whole federal marketplace, and I'm talking about the federal government is the largest procurer of goods and services in the world, they procure about $500 billion a year. And you break down that piece of the pie, and 23% of that piece of the pie should be going to small businesses. Now break that down even further, and 5% is allocated or should be going to 8A small disadvantaged businesses. And when you are a small business like ourselves and like the other small businesses that are also 8A certified, that is a huge competitive advantage. I love the program. We, through my American Express open role as advisor, I get to speak to so many small businesses that are also 8A certified and very successful across the country. We also partner with the SBA, and it's funny that Darrell mentioned the Federal Contracting 101, because through our American Express open conferences that we offer, through our Open for Government Contracting program, we partner with the SBA at different geographic locations. For example, we just completed Phoenix, Arizona. We're going to San Antonio, Texas. And the SBA is a huge part of it. And that Federal Government Contracting 101 workshop, they put on that workshop at each one of the American Express Open Forum conferences. So what the SBA offers are invaluable tools and resources that I think small businesses should definitely take advantage of.
Daryl, the Small Business Administration has seen kind of an evolution of the 8A program. You're working on enhancing it, improving it on an ongoing basis. How has it changed in the past 2 to 5 years? How does it look different today than it has before?
Yeah, I won't say that it really looks different. I think there are always changes and the need for changes because of certain things. And we recently issued a very comprehensive set of regulations. That was back in February of 2011. And while those regulations did make changes, they didn't necessarily change the face of the 8A program itself. Those changes were some technical changes that we had to make because of some changes in the law, or we made some more substantive changes because of experiences that we had in the program. And we did some things to clarify existing rules and regulations, and then we did some things to mitigate to the extent we can fraud, waste, and abuse in the program. But I would say that in terms of how the program operates, the face of the program, the mission of the program, I mean, that's pretty much the same and has been pretty consistent since Public Law 95507 in 1978.
Daryl, Lourdes mentioned the various permutations of this, the different slices of it, and that's another issue I wanted to get at with just sorting out all the competition. There are hub zone companies that are eligible for those kinds of set-asides. There are women-owned businesses, service-disabled, veteran-owned small businesses, mm-hmm. and so on. How do you help companies and how do you help agencies navigate these various things so they can point the right people to the right opportunities?
Yeah, well, and there's a concept that is adopted in law that's known as parity. And so that what that really means is that from a contracting officer's perspective, when it comes to deciding an acquisition strategy, there is no priority in respect to any of these socioeconomic groups. I think Lourdes referred to the goals and the 23% and then the overall small business goal and the socioeconomic goals. Well, with the HubZone program, there's a 3% goal. With the women-owned small business program, there is a 5% goal. With the disabled veterans, there is a 3% goal. And then there is a small disadvantaged business goal, which is 5%. And incorporated in that goal are the dollars that are captured through the 8A program. What we look at is, and I will say that of all the goals that get overachieved, it's the small disadvantaged business goal, and a significant portion of that is made up of contract awards to the 8A program. What we encourage contracting officers to do is to make their goals. And to the extent that they have a requirement that's suitable for the 8A program, it should go into the 8A program. And if it's a contract that if they're achieving their goals in the 8A program in the small disadvantaged business arena, then they should look to the goals that they are not achieving. But we don't necessarily want agencies achieving one goal at the detriment to the other program. So we don't necessarily want to see infighting among these socioeconomic goals. We want to see all of these groups benefit, and we want to see all the goals accomplished and exceeded to the extent possible.
Lourdes, how do you think the agencies are doing in conjunction with SBA at making sure that they're guiding and helping people understand the right opportunities for their kinds of companies?
Well, I'll tell you that the SBA has a very strong goaling department that basically meets on a monthly basis, I believe, Daryl.
That's correct.
With each one of the agencies. But if you'd like to share with your listeners a great website that was created by this administration about 2 or 3 years ago, it's called smallbusiness.data, data.gov, and that basically allows everybody to see just how well and how bad each agency is performing on their socioeconomic goals. Now, for example, one of my favorite agencies is Department of Homeland Security. I believe they're exceeding across the board all of their goals. So I love to market my products and services to an agency like that, because then I don't have to train them on how to use the woman's set-aside goal. I don't have to train them about the 8A goal. Their small business office is very diverse and are very strong advocates for small businesses. So Department of Homeland Security happens to be one of my favorite. And one of my second favorites is the United States Agency for International Development. They're actually partnering with American Express Open, and we're hosting a small business summit for them May 22nd in D.C. And events like these are very expensive. I mean, I've paid about $500 just to attend these events, and when American Express partners with the agencies, these events are free. So it's a very, very great opportunity to definitely be part of something like this. We are very happy to be also part of a program that's to push the new woman-owned set-aside program that is very new. It actually was just created, I believe, February of 2011, and Daryl could definitely keep me honest on that. But as a woman-owned small business and an 8A certified firm, I do feel that, I have a competitive edge. But it's like Daryl said, you've got to pound the pavement. There is no, like people say, oh, contracts are going to start flowing to you just because you're certified. No, you basically have to go into each agency, understand their missions, and, within the products and services that you offer, come up with a niche market and a niche way for you to be able to help and support them on their mission. And then, attend the different workshops that the SBA offers. They not only offer workshops at your hometown locations, but also they partner with centers like the Procurement Technical Assistance Centers, the Small Business Development Centers, and then there's also tons of information that's available for you to download and PowerPoint presentations to look at, while you're sitting at home on a Saturday. And I think the SBA has a wealth of resources.
Yep. I think Lourdes works for the SBA because she's doing a great job.
She's got the gig down, doesn't she?
I'm pleased. But I, just to add to that, I mean, one, I think it's important to note that and Lourdes hit on this, is that the common mistake that small businesses make, particularly when they come into the 8A program or when they try to take advantage of one of these other socioeconomic programs, is they try to hit the government with a shotgun approach. And that's not the way to do it. You've heard both of us talk about gathering information, knowing who your potential customers are, and understanding how they do business and how to market to them and how to be appealing to them. You know, one of the things you want to do when you come into this market is to narrow your focus, is to understand where the dollars are being spent, who's spending them, what are they spending them for, and who are they spending them with. Understand your competition and understand what it is you have to do business with that agency. And each one of these agencies has a office that focuses on working with these socioeconomic groups to support their own internal contracting activity. It's called the Office of Small Disadvantaged Business Utilization. Now, that name varies across some of the agencies, but they all serve the same purpose.
Yeah, and I definitely take advantage of those individuals because they are I call them the gatekeepers and your small business advocates. The small business, everybody thinks of the federal government as this huge giant, and how am I going to tap into that? Well, every agency is almost like its own corporation. They all have to abide by the federal acquisition rules and regulations, but however, each one has their own small business office. And I would say to small businesses, that's the first place you want to go because they are the ones that are being that are talking to the contracting officials and the programming officials and trying to make sure that they set aside those programs to remain in the small business, 8A, Hub Zone, Service Disabled Veteran, or Women-Owned programs. So the more that you speak to them and you sell your products and services matched with their mission, the greater opportunities you have for growth. Now, it's not easy. I mean, it's like the squeaky wheel gets the oil. I basically am going to Washington, D.C. about twice a month, and scheduling meetings and trying to be cost effective. But it is a very good program once you do start growing, and I think that it's wonderful. Also abiding by the Prompt Payment Act. I mean, you can't get a better payer than the federal government. Also guaranteed they're not going to bounce a check, right? But, you know, it is a very good lucrative customer to have.
Lourdes, you mentioned earlier, you kind of alluded to the data on smallbusiness.data.gov and how some agencies do better than others. The agencies that are successful with their 8A program efforts, what can they teach the agencies that are lagging behind a little bit, do you think?
Well, I know for a fact that, for example, Department of Homeland Security is helping Department of Energy and strengthen their programs. And the SBA, I know, has some coaching and mentoring involved that has to do with that. But I think that other agencies should definitely mirror best practices of other ones. But, you know, Energy has these huge contracts that they need to perhaps separate a little bit and debundle them, whereas Homeland Security obviously has a very important mission, but they also understand it's important to keep in mind that the small businesses are the backbone of America, and we employ more than 90% of the workforce in America. So they do understand that that's what's going to drive the economy and help, you know, produce job growth. But I think the SBA, in my opinion, each time I look at the budget keeps going down a little bit and a little bit, and I get a little bit worried because it is such an important agency for small businesses. I don't ever want to see it go away, and its programs are extremely important. I think that's why, you know, they partnered with American Express Open and the Open for Government Contracting Program, because taking a large corporation like American Express Open and having them work with each SBA office across the nation, I mean, these conferences are free. They're available to the public, and we partner with each SBA office at each location. And every time we come, everyone is just thanking us for coming and when are you coming back, because there's so much information and growth opportunities for small businesses. And I've had the chance to basically be in seeing how businesses grow their companies in very unique niche markets and watching them grow within the federal government. So it is a good spot to be in.
Daryl, the goal is for these companies to be successful, and some of them become so successful that they're not, they don't qualify as small businesses anymore. What are the resources, processes, techniques that you have in place to support these businesses so they can sustain themselves on their own and not have to rely on set-asides when they don't qualify for
them? Well, that's another area that we're working on. When I mentioned our pre-8A program, we're also working on a post-8A program. And, you know, people look at that differently. I have kind of a I have a different view on what it means to be prepared to transition. You know, I look at it more from an investment perspective, and I think you should be looking at exit strategies when you come into the program. You should be preparing to exit the program when you enter the program, and the planning that you undergo from year one through year nine should all be geared toward where you want to end up and how you get there. And as Lourdes mentioned earlier, the program is designed in two phases. One is developmental, and the other is transitional. In year five, the actual formal transitional stage begins. And, you know, during years one through four, we try to help you build infrastructure. We try to get the necessary management and technical assistance into your company. And we will allow you to be heavily reliant on the resources of the 8A program, whether they be sole source contracts or limited competition contracts that you get through the 8A program. Beginning in year five, we have formulas in place where we're looking for a increasing declining reliance on particularly sole source 8A contracts. And the whole purpose there is for you to start developing that business development activity that you need to be able to achieve competitive success, whether it be in other government markets or whether it's in the commercial market. And so one of the things we're also looking at ways to help you understand how to diversify your offerings and look for opportunities to grow your company. So in our post program, we're focused on things like you know, what's the best alternative for you to grow your company? Is it a merger? Is it an acquisition? You know, or how do you identify other market opportunities where you can start moving your company into those areas? You may be focused in one area, and there may be a growth opportunity in a related industry where you have the opportunity to capture more market share and move into those areas. So it's like acquiring niches where you have the opportunity to penetrate and grow in those markets. And you know, I think the whole concept of success goes back to the motivation of the entrepreneur.
Yeah. And that's so true.
Yeah, and so, you know, what may be successful to one may not necessarily be the success to the other. Lourdes may be looking to build a legacy. You may have another entrepreneur that's looking to grow the value of an asset and turn it over. In each instance, the value of that company rests with the market share that it holds when it leaves this program. So, and a lot of that depends on how you take advantage of the program, how you prepare yourself, how much you avail yourself to the resources of the program other than just contracts. And I think Lourdes talked very well about that early on.
Lourdes, how are you preparing as a company to leave the 8A program? I know you love it so much, you hope that it never ends.
I'm hoping Daryl comes up with some good ideas so that we don't exit by the time I'm in my ninth year. But, no, I think it is a very, very good program. It's like he said, it is a very good business development program to be in, and agencies understand that when you're in the 8A program, they're also there to help you and to if you present a good product or service to the agency, you do have the opportunity of sole source non-competitive bids, and that definitely does open the door. But, you know, it's like we said before, you do have to pound the pavement. You do have to go and visit the agency's procurement forecast. But planning is extremely important. And I meet with my SBA business development specialist once a year, and we do revisit my business plan. And I will tell you, I've changed it every year. Every year it gets a little bit stronger. I add a little bit more services. And it's due to the way that the government is changing and the way that the market and the economy is changing. So they actually do help you in establishing growth after the 8A.